Would you consider yourself a spiritual person?
I don't really understand the point of the question. I consider myself a moral person.
Do you believe in God?
As a scientist, I rely on empirical evidence, and in this matter, I don't believe that there is data either way.
So your answer would in fact be that you don't believe in God?
I don't understand the relevance of the question.
95% of the world's population believes in a supreme being in one form or another. Question more than relevant.
And don't you let them Negroes tell you different. 95% of the civilized world believes in God, but 50% of the Democratic delegates do not. Oh, hell, they do not. Now, listen, JC, the producer, he's on the phone right now. Listen, we are going to get on the phone with the folks at the Real Talk Blancers. I know that they do this big, beautiful women thing, but they've got to be put on the phone today. Now, call them, contact them, anything it is that you could possibly do, get them on the lines, because I want them to defend. I was in a little bit of a chat with them earlier. I had a little Facebook chat with the folks over at the Real Talk Blancers, who we haven't had on the show for a couple of months, about this issue. But I want people to hear what went on with the Democratic Party just yesterday at about 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And what America needs to know is that liberalism is now in firing range. If conservatives are smart, we can choke to death. Liberalism, we can choke it and kill it. We can grab liberalism and liberal policies and grab it by the throat and choke the life out of it. That's right. I'm not kidding here. You take the ball now and you run with it. You grab liberalism by the throat and you choke the life out of it right now. Because what you witnessed yesterday at 5 o'clock, which a lot of networks are afraid to even broadcast, is the fact that they are a godless group of people. And it's a fact. Now look, I want you to hear this. This is Dick Durbin. This is Dick Durbin, who was furious at Fox Special Report anchor Brett Baer bringing up why was the word God and Jerusalem being the capital of Israel, why was the language taken out of there? And Dick Durbin, not only was he irate, but he was indignant. He was indignant. Listen to his own words.
Well, I can just basically tell you, if the narrative is being presented on your station and through your channel and your network is that the Democrats are godless people, they ought to know better. God is not a franchise of the Republican Party. Those of us who believe in God and those of us who have dedicated our lives to helping others in the name of God don't want to take a second seat to anyone who is suggesting that one word out of the platform means that the Democrats across America are godless.
No, he says that they're not godless, but you heard the goddamn vote! All those for it, say aye. Aye! All those against? No! No! And it wasn't even about God. It was God-given right. It wasn't even a question of God. It was whether or not the United States, whether or not we as citizens had a God-given right. And there were Arabs in the crowd, folks. Arabs! Arabs for Obama, who said, no! The Arab man standing there with a white woman wearing white t-shirts, waving their arms, crossing their arms. No! And Dick Durbin is irate? The Republican Party does not have a franchise on God. It seems like we do. Because half of your party's delegation said no to God. They said no to Jerusalem as well, but they said no to God. And now it's time to strike. Now is the time to destroy them. You stomp them like a bug because they've been exposed. Look at Gloria Allred out there at the Democratic National Convention. Who let that bitch get a ticket? What are you doing there? That's a godless person if I ever saw one. Gloria Allred. They didn't want to appreciate and show significance to God. They didn't want to show that God is the center of our democracy. Now, I know there are people out there who agree with that and who believe in that. And that's fine. Not that I have an issue with it. If you don't believe in God, hey, that's fine. You know, I make the claim all the time. Belief is for people who lack knowledge. Think about that for a second. Grab it. Marinate. Belief is for people who lack knowledge. So you can believe something may be true. You can believe in something that may happen. But it is not rooted in fact. That's what belief is about. That's the reason why they associate it with God. That is the reason why the naysayers, the atheists out there, can refute any claims of God. Because these are believers. And they call themselves non-believers. You see, what must be rooted in truth is fact. So you'll often hear me say, I believe it means that I lack knowledge. I think it means that I lack knowledge. If there's one thing that I know, is that most liberals hate God. They hate the concept of it. Because with God comes rules. And with rules, rules are the antithesis of liberalism. Liberalism wants the ability to do whatever the F they want. Want to screw a kid? That should be okay. You want to rape donkeys and other farm animals? That should be fine. To each their own, you'll catch liberals saying. Look at Larry Birkin. Huh? Larry Birkin. Oh, Birkin, whatever his goddamn name is. I think it's Birkin. He's on my website, for crying out loud. This guy was a liberal, gay jihadist, part of the Rainbow Jihad, was caught with emails and photos of little black children. I like it with the little nigger got it. Talking about a little black boy being raped and sodomized. I like it when the little nigger got it. This is liberalism, folks. It's a godless bunches of pieces of garbage. And you know they are. Like it or not, that's who it is that they are. And it was shown, it was evident, when they booed the acceptance of God and shouted down Israel. Everybody wants to call it about Israel. Oh, no, they were booing Israel. They were booing Israel. That's what it was about. They don't want Jerusalem being the capital of Israel. Well, what does that say about your party? Your president claims that he's the strongest advocate for Israel, that his unwavering support of Israel hasn't been matched by any president before him since 1948. That's his claim. but yet his party booed the idea of acknowledging Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And what does it say about his party? You must choke them now. You must put your hands around their collective throats and choke the shit out of them. Now is the time to kill them. Figuratively, of course. Politically, of course. You have to destroy what it is that liberals have done to this society. The time has come, ladies and gentlemen. The prophecy has arrived. Liberalism has been exposed. Liberalism, for all of its truth, has been awoken. And it has taken hold of our society. For too long we have waited. For too long we have watched liberalism crush the fabric of our society. For too long we have watched. We have watched as liberals have found a way to chisel, to break apart, to destroy our way of life. What are we going to do about it today, folks? What are we going to do about it? Will someone finally step up? Will finally someone take the liberals and destroy them and expose them? Will it finally happen? Can I get someone out there, just one person out there, to finally put the stake into the hearts of liberalism? That's all I want. They've been exposed for who they are, and now is the time to attack. You've got to do it. There can be no fear. There can be no fear. There can be no hesitation. They must be taken advantage of. Their guard is down. They're all mystified. And they know that the reckoning is coming. They know that they cannot return from this. There's no way back, ladies and gentlemen. It is a godless party. It is a godless group of people. Get your guns. That's all you need to do, folks. It's time to destroy them. It's time. Are you with me? Please tell me you're with me. Talk answers on the phone. Come on, JC, let's get them on the phone. Let's expose these liberals for what they are. Godless people they are.
Man, I think they're afraid. They know. Oh, my gosh. We've been going back and forth for the past maybe 10 minutes. And I think they might give us 10 minutes at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
I'm trying to make a decision, so we'll see.
All right, no problem. Good to go. Folks, now is the time to strike.
But, I mean, he knows what we're talking about.
Oh, good.
They know what we're talking about. And the first thing that they cry, oh, that was for Israel.
Yeah, I know. They're all trying to make it about Israel. But even that, my friends, now it's time to choke them. Now it's time to put our collective hands around their throat and choke the life out of liberalism. It's time. It's time, damn it. It's time. It's on radio.
Yoga girl, what's going on? I see you got your little mat wearing your tongs. My name is Dave from that Whole Foods song. You wanna meditate with me? I'm like, well anyway, I guess you better be going. The last thing I wanna do is stop your vinyasa from flowing. You need some mat space, go on, be about it.
It's just that Vinny's class gets so damn crowded.
Yeah, that's what I heard, it gets pretty tight. What's up for later though, you wanna try to grab a bite? We could hit up Revolution or the Earth Cafe, have a vegan cookie and talk about your day. Or we could take a walk down by the ocean, I heard those hip openers release a lot of emotion. It's all good though, you know, like either way, you feel like going with me?
Nah, I'm a say.
Hey yo, girl.
But just not my scene. I think your third eye could maybe use some Visine. Your breathing sounds just a little heavy, cool guy. You need to come to class and learn some Ujjayi. I know you see me every single day like Groundhog, and I appreciate it, but I'm not down, dog. I'm gonna grab a coconut water and be on my way. I wish you peace and blessings. Namaste.
Hey, yo, girl.
Love to get to know ya. I got a couple next level poses I can show ya. My first choice, rub lotion on my fifth joint. It's thoughts of you that keep my man Duca Matt moist. Your aura's glowing, your Tariya's steady flowing. I signed you up for my newsletter without you knowing. I wanna fly your whole posse to Varanasi, or we can go to Goa and sip some mango lassi. Cause I love it when you call me Big Baba. I wanna explore your Bodhisattva, unblock my chakras. You got my fourth level exposed. When you fold them Lululemons in a bow pose, you're like a model with that metal water bottle always with you. I'm trying to be sleepy vision, straight up.
Hey yo, girl.
Are you tired of government picking favorites in business? Is red tape making it impossible for you to earn a living? When private businesses collude with the government to exclude competition, you get cronyism. How do you get rid of it? You can try passing laws, but that only covers up the problem. There's a better solution.
Hi, Willie Bays here with another fantastic product. crony queen.
The spray that breaks down cronyism by breaking down government bureaucracy.
Normal products attack the side effects of cronyism by passing more laws and business regulations. But Crony Clean is different. It targets the root cause of cronyism, too much government. Using proven political science, Crony Clean eliminates the government influence on business, giving everyone the right to make a living. No more concentrated benefits, no more dispersed costs. America! Why waste your time and money fighting an uphill battle against special interest groups? With Crony Clean, you have the power to fight. Crony Clean can be applied to restore economic liberty, property rights, the First Amendment, and much more. Order now and receive Crony Clean for the unbelievable price of nothing. Just pay fewer taxes. But wait, there's more. Call in the next 20 minutes and you'll receive a free gift, the dollar deflator.
It forms a strong barrier to protect your dollar savings from inflation.
Keep America free by keeping the government out of businesses. Order now.
Offer not available in Washington, D.C. and surrounding areas. Side effects may include more economic freedom, jobs, less corruption, and improved quality of life. If you're a politician or lobbyist, please consult your doctor before using Crony Clean. Order today.
On the radio, and we're back 21 minutes after the hour. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, as you know, not a fan. I've always had problems with this broad because, in a lot of ways, and this is going to sound probably, I don't want to use the word profound, it's not profound. In a lot of ways, this woman reminds me of my accuser. And what I mean by that is, even when caught in blatant lies, stands there with a straight face and tells them over and over again. And then for some odd reason, missing in action and cannot be found when their lie has been completely exposed. Now, I don't know whether or not you've heard this, but there's a narrative going on at the Democratic National Convention and across the country with liberals, with referring to South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley as as Eva Braun, another California congressman refers to Paul Ryan as a Nazi, Harpulian, and I'm forgetting his first name, but also from South Carolina, referring to people as Nazis in a Republican Party. And then Debbie Wasserman Schultz is written up in a Washington Examiner piece, where the Washington Examiner reporter says that she spoke with Israeli Prime Minister Michael Oren, who suggested that the Republican Party's platform is dangerous for Israel. Now, she was on the Fox Report with Shepard Smith just yesterday, where he addressed the comments and read the quote to her, where she replied. Here's how that exchange went with her and Shepard Smith. And then something funny happened. Audio surfaced. Here's her exchange with Shepard Smith when he pretty much verbatim expressed what it is that Debbie Wasserman Schultz said.
Ambassador to the United States today called out the chairwoman of the Democratic National Committee and categorically denied that he ever said Republican. Ambassador to the United States today called out the chairwoman of the Democratic National Committee and categorically denied that he ever said Republican policies were bad for Israel. The back and forth began yesterday when the chairwoman, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the congresswoman from Florida, criticized the Republican attacks on the president.
government over Israel. She told a group of people at the DNC, quote, "We know, and I've heard no less than Ambassador Michael Oren say this, that what the Republicans are doing is dangerous for Israel." Earlier today, Ambassador Oren issued a statement denying that he'd ever called Republican policies harmful for Israel and that his nation has friends in both the United States political party. As I mentioned, Debbie Wasserman Schultz is with us. He says he didn't say that.
And I didn't say he said that. And unfortunately, that comment was reported by a conservative newspaper. Not surprising that they would deliberately misquote me.
They deliberately misquoted her until, of course, the audio surfaced where Debbie Wasserman Schultz said this.
"We know, and I've heard no less than a doctor or Michael Oren say this, that what the Republicans are doing is dangerous for Israel."
Her own words, her own voice. Her own words, her own voice. She says they misquoted her. Now, I want you to hear what Shepard Smith says in his piece, as he quotes what is reported that she said.
"That he ever said Republican policies were bad for Israel. The back and forth began yesterday when the chairwoman, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the congresswoman from Florida, criticized the Republican attacks on the president over Israel. She told a group of people at the DNC, quote, "We know, and I've heard no less than Ambassador Michael Oren."
See it again.
"We know, and I've heard no less than Ambassador Michael Oren say this, that what the Republicans are doing is dangerous for Israel."
That's the quote from the Washington Examiner. Her exact words?
"We know, and I've heard no less than a doctor or Michael Oren say this, that what the Republicans are doing is dangerous for Israel."
Her response, when asked, was this.
"He says he didn't say that."
"And I didn't say he said that. And unfortunately, that comment was reported by a conservative newspaper. Not surprising that they would deliberately misquote me."
Deliberately misquote you. But there's the audio. Who's going to hold this broad accountable? Who is going to hold this woman accountable? This is the DNC chairwoman, congresswoman from Florida, caught again lying.
You know what? Since they started the RNC as well as, but more so the DNC, what I've been watching over the past couple of days, you know, if moonwalking, backsliding, backpedaling, or reverse figure skating with gold medals.
Oh, absolutely.
They'd win platinum. The shit I've heard at the DNC, and I, excuse me for cursing, but the crap I've heard at the DNC over the last 2 days, and I'm getting it from friends and everybody. I mean, I have friends that call me crying about Michelle Obama. I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. Aren't you a mom? Do you support your man? Okay, what the hell are you crying for? You do exactly what she did.
Absolutely.
When you speak for your man.
Yeah,
what was so profound about what she said?
You know, it's interesting you say that, because I want to take a break real quick, because I've got to do something real quick. So give me a second, because I want to get into Michelle Obama, which we will this break. We'll get into that. We've got plenty more to get into, because I've got to talk about the NFL and that whole bit. So give me a second, because Michelle Obama is a very, very important factor we need to get into when we return. So stick around. We will be right back. Stand by. It's Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Yo, man. Hey, you ever go to these bars, right? It's like a nice enough place, nice enough people, but the bartender,
think she's too fancy, man. You know, I'm like, hey, Mr. Mixologist, did you have to go to college for this? It seems like you got some knowledge. It's just a cocktail for $20 plus tips. Hey, Mr. Mixologist, did you have to go to college for this? I know your game is tight, but for the drinks, right? At this rate, we'll be standing here all night out.
So there's this bar, everybody's like, you gotta go. I'm at the door. What's the password?
I don't know.
We entered through a phone booth or something crazy.
Oh my god, they have the best drink here. It's amazing.
Ooh, I saw the bartender. He looked like a nice dude. He was pouring a drink with one big-ass ice cube. I'm like, excuse me, sir, could I get a beer? He gave me this look like, why are you even in here? I was confused. Did we start on a bad note? He's wearing waxing his mustache and a lab coat. I'm like, what's the matter? Is beer too boring? He's like, well, this cocktail dates back to pre-Civil War New Orleans.
Wow,
it's real cool, man. Could you suggest something tighter? He hands me this list that was typed up on a typewriter. I ordered something and he lit it on fire. Dude, you've been watching way too much Boardwalk Empire.
For real. Hey, Mr. Mixologist.
Yeah.
Did you have to go to college for this? It seems like you got some knowledge. It's just a cocktail for $20 plus tips. Hey, Mr. Mixologist.
What's up, man?
Did you have to go to college for this?
Same.
I know your game is tight, but for the drinks, right? At this rate, we'll be standing here all night.
Simple, sir, because I ain't nothing to muddle with. I got some burlesque dancers I'm trying to cuddle with. So whip some drinks up twice and double it.
Well, have you tried our aviation or Ramos Fizz?
Whoa. Are you even speaking English, Chief? A rum and coke times two, capiche?
Oh, you must mean our handcrafted Cuba Libre.
If it's quick, bro, you're moving slower than instant replay. He dripped a half ounce of something I couldn't pronounce. And by that time, I clap a chicken straight down. I'll speak easy, boss, but I gotta call you bluff. You need to drink, too. Can't be all that tough. Pour the liquor in and swirl it in a circle. But you're on them things like a Shake Boy commercial. I'll have a beer, guy, whenever you're done mixing. Second thought, boycott. Prohibition.
Hey, Mr. Mixologist, did you have to go to college for this? It seems like you got some knowledge. It's just a cocktail for $20 plus tips. Hey, Mr. Mixologist, did you have to go to college for this? I know your game is tight, but for the drinks, right? At this rate, we'll be standing here all night.
Hey, could I get a Sazerac, man? With muddled sage. No? Okay.
Yes, this is a smoked salmon-infused vodka with a few drips of ice plant tincture served over crushed lava rock.
What's star fruit? Hey, are you putting raw eggs in that? You don't... You can get there's no salmonella danger or anything like that?
My name's Jimmy Rebel. This first number's a song I wrote. It's very near and dear to me, and it's about niggers.
A one, a two, a one, two, three. Step back, silverback, hold on, blackie. Steal some gas for your Cadillac-y. Get downtown with them coons and clowns. Just stay away from me. Laquita, Shanita, and Jamal. Orangelo, Mangelo, and Tylenol. Grab an orange soda and a basketball. Just leave my daughter be. Keep to yourself. Stay away from mine. Open your eyes and mouth so I can see you shine. Open up your nose, put in a fresh bone. Just leave my snow-driven beauty, Caucasian cutie, pure, demure, and classically snooty, sweet white daughter alone. Nigger.
Into the show. Had to take a break off yesterday, man, because that NFL, that was something that had to happen. I don't care. At this particular point, I'm not giving a damn anymore. What I want supersedes everything. It's just the way I look at it. It's called selfishness. I'm happy to be.
That's just me. Sorry. Anyway, we were talking about Michelle Obama and her speech two nights ago. Because Bill Clinton gave this speech last night. And let me not get into this whole thing about Bill Clinton and his speech last night, other than for me to say just this. Can anybody explain to me why he had to speak for 47 minutes? Can somebody explain that to me? 47 minutes? He spoke longer than Obama will speak tonight. Any amount of money. He spoke longer than Obama will speak tonight. Without a doubt. But let me get into other parts of this. Michelle Obama's speech. Here's the most important thing that you need to know about Michelle Obama's speech. It was full of lies. Now, I don't know whether or not they are really, really that much in love. Not that I care. I hope they are. I hope he's crazy about her. You know? There are plenty of things that it says to me about President Obama in his relationship with Michelle. Now, feel me on this, but understand where I'm coming from here. I want you to hear me on this, okay? Your wife is going all around the country telling everybody to eat healthy, right? She's got companies changing their format, taking salt out of their food, taking trans fats and all that other stuff, committing themselves to helping people make the right dietary choice by taking, you know, certain additives out of their food before it goes on into counters in the store. But yet every time you're out with Brian Williams, President Obama, that is, you're out getting chili dogs and ice cream and pizza and cookies and candies and cakes. You're out there, when you're out there, you got your shirt, you know, you got no suit on, you're just wearing a shirt with the rolled up sleeves, you're out there with Brian Williams, you're out there with Five Guys, you're out there getting hot dogs and hamburgers, getting a big giant, you know, big giant burger with all the cheese and the fixings, but your wife is running around telling everybody else to eat healthy while her husband is running out there pigging out. Now, what does that tell you about the relationship? Here's the first point. I'll tell you the first point. Obama thinks his wife is a nag. And she probably gets on his goddamn nerves about the healthy food thing. He hates it. He probably looks at her and says, hey, listen, Michelle, I'm skinny. I'm a thin guy. I can have anything I want. But look, you want to make everybody else thin? That's fine. I'm already thin. Okay, I don't want to hear any more crap about whether or not I had a deep-fried Twinkie, when I was to stop it with insulting me in public about whether or not I had a deep-fried Twinkie. I can eat whatever I want. I'm the President of the United States. Who the F is you? That's point number one. Point number two. She claims that when she drove in a car with Obama, she was riding around in the car with him, and the rusted-out car, she can see the pavement underneath them. Really? Do we really believe that a kid who went to Occidental, Harvard, and Columbia was driving in a rusted out car when he met Michelle Obama, a lawyer working with Acorn, forcing banks to give loans to people who didn't deserve it? He was driving in a rusted out car. But yet you know what a $500 pair of sneakers looks like? Please. Are we really supposed to believe that? I find that incredibly hard to believe. Point number three. Are you really the mom in chief, Mrs. Obama? The mom in chief? Well, let's look at that from a perspective of, let's say, my mother. who wasn't the greatest woman in the world when it came to being a mother. But I have a lot of respect for that woman. She can have all those kids, beat them appropriately when she deemed it necessary. And was raised by my grandmother, who I have no issue with calling the ultimate bitch. Yes, my grandmother, Marie F. Hopkins. That's right. Middle initial F. Yes, Marie F. U. Hopkins. That's what she was. My mother was the worst kind of mother. But, I was still able to gain values from that. But let me look at Michelle Obama as the mom-in-chief who's so concerned about her little girls, who she takes to Spain. She takes to Spain because her gynecologist father has died. So concerned. So concerned about mothers across the country, yet her daughters go to an exclusive private school. Not public school, private school. They don't go to church because they're not a member of one. So they haven't taught their daughters spirituality or faith. Even my mother did that. And that woman beat me with the side of a couch. Now, is this really, really First Lady material? Your daughters don't go to church? Oh, hell, even Barbara and Jenna Bush, those drunk high schoolers, went to church? Oh, and yes, they were drunk high schoolers. They were party girls. You get my point here. Let's get to the phones. It's only right. We've got Dennis. We've got Mary. Mary, why you bugging? And who is this in the 781 area code calling in the Reason Radio?
Hey, Reese, what's going on?
You're in hell, isn't me.
Now,
some reason we lost it.
Yes. If Dennis, how are you, sir?
All of a sudden, as soon as you kick to me, it's a bad, scratchy connection. What the hell are you guys doing over in Blog Talk?
Oh, I have no idea. I've been having a problem with them all day.
I mean, you were coming in good on the feed, hearing what you were broadcasting, and also the actual coming over the speaker, but now I can't hear. Anyway, the question is Gabby Giffords today. Do you realize that she said under God? Imagine if they had not reversed themselves yesterday. She wouldn't be able to say the Pledge of Allegiance today.
Listen, it's funny that you mentioned Gabby Giffords because I couldn't find really anything to say about that would not have been offensive. But let me put it to you this way. I am appalled.
You're always offensive. What are you kidding?
No. Because I like Gabby Giffords. Although she's a Republican turned Democrat, which means you were never a Republican.
But you like the NFL better.
I don't like anybody dragging this woman out at events like this for show. I don't like it. Okay? I don't like it. And that woman comes out there to say the Pledge of Allegiance, and you know she can barely speak. She got it wrong, but of course that's of no fault of her own. The woman's got a bully through her face.
I hear what you're saying. It's a show.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't
like a sympathy
like
show. But these are the same people who said Ann Romney was some sort of bitch just last week.
Right.
Remember when they talked about her multiple sclerosis and that? Well, you can't talk about that. It's pandering, but it's okay for Gabby to come out. These people have no shame.
I thought it was exploitive. I thought it was ugly. I didn't like seeing it. I don't like seeing her like that. I like her because even before then, even though she was a Democrat, I did like her as a person. She seemed very genuine. She just doesn't know her way.
Right. Nobody deserves to get shot.
Exactly. And not the way this woman was crying out loud.
So I got a question for you before you fade out again. You've been in the business how many years?
Yeah, it was tacky on so many levels. That was the part that I couldn't. But
okay,
what did you think about the Debbie Wasserman and Schultz audio that I played? What did you think of that?
Well, I have. Well, please, they think this is 1961, where you only get the information from print media. They forget that tape and YouTube and so many different outlets of video are there, and they open their mouths and they forget that they can't get away with it anymore.
Do you think that she forgot?
Of course not. But they're arrogant.
That's the part about Debbie Wasserman Schultz that I cannot stand. It isn't so much about her being arrogant. It's about the fact that this woman, as far as she's concerned, lying is a virtue.
I got a question for you. Now, how long have you been in the business?
10 years.
10 years. Now, I don't know if you heard what happened at the Radio Row down at the convention.
Of course I did.
So what do you think of that? This is openness.
Unheard of.
Sotero, a.k.a. Barack Obama, said we were going to be open and no more were we going to be closed like the Democrats. And I'll let you – I set it up for you. You can say the story, what happened at Radio Row.
Okay, if you haven't heard this story, the bottom line was this. The DNC has told everybody at the Democratic National Convention, do not give interviews to any conservative media outlets on Radio Row. Now, I went to the Democratic National Convention in 2008 in Denver at the Pepsi Center. I was on Radio Row.
People might not know what Radio Row is.
Okay,
you and
Radio
I know.
Row is, well, bottom line with Radio Row is you have this big giant room where all of your radio stations across the country are doing their shows via satellite from that Democratic National Convention. So you're there with some of your competitors. In fact, me being on WRKO, ahead of me to the right was my competitor, WTKK, and Michael Savage. We're on at the same time. So this is the first time where I'm actually looking at people who are competing against me during that particular hour of the day, or that day part, as we call it. And the idea is you're there, and these people from the Democratic National Convention, people who are going to be guest speakers there, people who are going to be on stage giving their speeches, they go around to talk to these radio personalities and talk about the platform of the, you know, of course, the convention. They get to talk about, you know, how they believe that the election is going to turn out. So you get to speak to some bigwigs there. I got the opportunity to talk to people like Dick Morris, who was there, who was on my show. I spoke to Eric Cantor. He's the minority leader of Congress. Eric Cantor from Virginia, in fact. Got to speak to him for a while. I even had on my show Carolyn Maloney, Democrat from New York. So I'm a conservative talk show host, so here I am talking to conservatives and liberals at the Democratic National Convention.
Isn't that the one whose husband was killed in the gunfire?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. No, sorry. Carolyn Maloney's husband died on a mountain climbing expedition.
Oh, I was confusing him with somebody got shot on the LIRR.
No. That's McCarthy.
Okay.
That's McCarthy, who's the right. She's the congresswoman from Long Island, and her husband was shot and killed by Colin Ferguson.
Okay.
So, no, I had Carolyn Maloney. She's from, in fact, she was the congresswoman of my old apartment on 90th Street and 3rd Avenue, where, of course, my case originates from. She was my congresswoman. And so these people are there, and they're there to talk to whoever the media outlet is. Of course, talk radio is dominated by conservatives. But now this year, they're being told, don't talk to any conservative media. Only speak to people like NPR and liberals who are on Radio Row. And in essence, pretty much not giving any fodder for conservatives to question them on anything. Here's the reason why. And it's a very simple reason. This campaign has been exposed as a fraud. Now, I don't know.
Just like Elizabeth Warren.
I don't know if anybody heard this. But, you know, the Bank of America speech that was supposed to happen today outside at the stadium
where President Obama was going to take his acceptance.
They couldn't fill it. Who are they kidding? They're not kidding anybody,
right.
Saying there was
not
weather.
Not only could they not fill it, not only could they not fill it, new reports have now surfaced. And I love this when people always fact check. Okay? Love it. There was a 30% chance of rain on August 27th, 2008. That is the day that I flew out of Denver, Colorado to return to Boston. That's the day. 30% chance of rain. When I was flying out, even I was saying to myself, wow, that's going to be pretty screwed up if it rains while they give that speech at Invesco. And I laughed about it, that these people are going to be out there in the rain while they're celebrating the nomination of Barack Obama.
But he thought it was Jack Kennedy in Los Angeles.
But the report simply said this, was that the Democratic National Committee said, rain or shine, we are holding it at Invesco.
Right.
With a 30% chance of rain. The chance of rain tonight in Charlotte, North Carolina, zero, zip, zilch. And they're bringing it inside. But yet they refuse to acknowledge the fact that nobody wanted the show, that they did not want to be embarrassed. That's all
they
it was.
They were bussing him in from South Carolina. They still couldn't
it
fill
wasn't
the stadium.
Enough. It still wasn't enough. They were bussing him in as far as Georgia. It still wasn't enough. No one wanted to go. For crying out loud, there was a report in North Carolina that a regular bar like Shucky's was actually going to be giving away 50 tickets at the bar just for the first 50 people who showed up. Come in and get a brewski, and you might be able to see Barack Obama.
But they think we're going to buy this crap.
Can I get a pint of Sam Adams? Hey, I got something better for you. I've got a pint of Sam Adams and two tickets to see Barack Obama today. No, we're actually just going to have
no, they don't want it because Sam Adams was made in Massachusetts, the state where Mitt Romney was governor. They'll find an excuse.
Hey, for the record, from Charlotte to Atlanta, there's only 241 miles. That's a little over a three-hour drive. That's not that bad. They were driving from Washington State down to Washington, D.C. for the damn inauguration.
That's what I'm talking about. There were people all over the country to see that inauguration. It was gangbusters to get down
but
there.
But, Reese, think of this. What about the people who did spend some money and went a distance because they wanted to go to the event, and now they're locked out? Did the DNC give a damn about those people?
Of course not. It's never about the people. It's about the image of President Obama. It's always about his image. This whole thing is about his image. There's not one. This is the most amazing thing. Is that
I'm surprised they admitted that the sand castle was melted with the rain.
In contrast to everything that people are talking about, I understand it's the re-election of President Barack Obama. I understand that. But you know what? What Ronald Reagan said in 1984, which I still find striking, is in 1980, in fact, sorry, 79, is when they started what was called the Misery Index. Do you remember that, Dennis? You're old enough to remember.
Oh, yes.
Okay. The Misery Index in 1979 into 1980 was well above 20%. The year after the election of Ronald Reagan, they didn't even want to produce, in 1981, didn't want to produce a misery index. They didn't report a misery index in 1984. Not one press agency reported on the misery index at the time, even though it was at 11.6 and declining. No one wanted to talk about it. But yet,
boy, am I glad Jimmy Carter's daughter saved us from nuclear annihilation by that good talk that she had with him.
At eight? At 8 years old?
Yeah, eight and nine. Do you remember that? It was the second debate.
Yeah.
You were a little kid then.
Listen to me. I followed that election. That is literally the genesis of my love for politics. Thank God for Jimmy Carter. Because he was so awful. I couldn't help but pay attention. He was a car wreck.
I was rubbernecking that entire election. It made me fall in love.
You mean he
didn't
let you shuck peanuts in Georgia like the rest of the pickaninnies?
No. Let me tell. Okay, I'm going to tell you this because I'm going to bring Mike. I'm going to bring Mike in. And I got to the top of the hour. Let me tell you this. This will make you laugh. Okay. As a little kid, I'll admit, probably the weakest moment of my entire life. The reason why I really, really fell in love with Ronald Reagan is because he appealed to something very simple in my heart as a child. He and I both loved jelly beans. And I thought that was the coolest thing in the world. Because none of my friends and none of my family liked jelly beans. They hated it. They
Isn't that interesting?
And ripped me apart for liking them. And I felt like I was all alone in the world because it was the only candy that I would buy was jelly beans. That and Twizzlers, which everybody knows is my next because of Star Wars.
Snooze to me. Were you sitting stuffing your face last night watching the NFL instead of doing what you were supposed to do, doing the show last night?
No, I wasn't. Let's get Mike in here. Mike in Florida, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, man, I'm liking some of the bumper music you have. It's like I tuned into 106 and Park.
Oh, those are, listen, you got to check these videos out. It's Smog and Fog. They're the guys who did the Hyundai commercials back during Christmas. They also have a song called It's Getting Real in a Whole Foods Parking Lot. They're very parody and hilarious songs. And I'm a big fan of their
song. Did you check
your
email? I gave you and Justin a lot of bumpers from Music Bakery.
Yes, I did. I did get them, and I'm actually going to go through them this weekend.
Okay. I will check that out if you do something for me. And
absolutely.
You check out a band called Atoms for Peace.
Yeah, send me a link.
They just dropped their new single called Default, I think. It's Tom York from Radiohead with Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And then some really obscure English artists. It is crazy.
Well, you
know how I miss the Pams? They went out of business.
You actually mentioned two people who I really, really respect in this game, and that's Radiohead and especially the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I don't care for their politics, but I really, really like them as performers. I really like their music.
Tom York and Radiohead, I know this is almost bordering on sacrilege. Radiohead are the best, most intelligent band since the Beatles.
You're probably right about that.
It's over my head.
Nah, it's a little, that's kind of our time. Radiohead's very much a...
I hated the Beatles, you got to understand. You know,
well,
music died in 1963.
But if you really, really, you're part of mine and Mike's generation from the, you know, sort of like the 1992, the entrance of grunge and alternative rock, then you can really respect a group like Radiohead, because that's what they are. Very, very alternative, but great music. Great music.
Like I said, music died in 1963 for me.
There's some good stuff out there. It's just unfortunate, man. You got to really search for it. 92 to 1996 was the last 5 years. I can honestly say 92 to all of 92 into all of 96 was the last 5 years of radio for me. The last 5 years of really good radio.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really like Nickelback and Three Doors Down, so most rock radio is dead to me, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. You're absolutely right about that. All right,
when he said Radiohead, I thought he was talking production music.
No. I want to go, listen, I'm going to go to the top of the hour. Don't forget, 9:30 today, we're going to go into Jigaboo time with Mike. Mike, you got your stories ready?
Oh, yeah, I got them.
Okay. All right, Jigaboo time with Mike in Florida. When we return at 9:30, we're going to go to the top of the hour, and we'll finally find out where the heck Mary is. Let's see if we can get a comment from her right now. Where are you, damn it?
I am on 495, approaching 95 at the moment.
Where the hell is that?
I'm in Alexandria.
Oh, okay. You're not far.
No, I'm not far.
Okay. All right, we'll see you when you get here. Hey, I made pizza.
You made pizza?
Yep, and I didn't burn it.
What? Get out of here. Okay, since we're talking personal stuff. Did you just take me out?
showtime.
I see some black people looking at me, man. It ain't us, it's the media. It ain't us, it's the media. The media has distorted our image to make us look bad. Why must you come down on us like that, brother? It ain't us, it's the media. Please cut the fucking dish, okay? 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 When I go to the money machine tonight, all right? I ain't looking over my back for the media. I'm looking for niggas, ish. Ted Koppel ain't never took this from me. Niggas have. So you think I got three guns in my house because the media outside? Oh, it's Mike Wallace. Run!
Top of the hour, 1 minute after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. I am your host, Reese on the Radio. It is September the 6th, 2012. This is going fast. This is going fast. I cannot believe it. August is over. The summer is a wrap. Fall is coming slowly but surely. It is actually going to be down to 70 degrees next week. And I can't wait. Now, I'm telling you, folks, don't get me wrong here. Don't get me wrong here. There are only two times of the year that I love, and that is spring and fall. I got no love for winter, no love for summer. I'm a summer baby, born August 14th. Hate the summer. I love the fall, though. What I love even more is jacket weather. I love wearing jackets because I have nice jackets. I have nice coats. I look good in my coats. I look good. It's the only time in my life when I really, really I feel good. That's when I'm wearing a jacket. And I know people see me in a jacket and they go, look at him. He looks good. I think that of myself, and I know that they're thinking it when I'm walking around. I've got my hat tilted to the side and I'm wearing my nice jacket and nice pair of jeans and some stylish shoes. I look good. And I know that they're saying it too. I could do that all day. I could talk about myself all day. Anyway, back to the matter at hand. There is some real racism happening at the Democratic National Convention. But what I find scarier is that the fact that even Fox News isn't reporting it. I don't know exactly why they're not. But there is a photo that Yahoo News has put up. It's right there. You can look for it yourself. But Reuters has reported. This is what their headline reads. Okay? A convention goer stands on the convention floor on the first day of the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte, North Carolina, September 4, 2012. That's all it says in the picture. But then you look at the buttons. Top one says, Love Birds, Obama, 2012. It's a button with Michelle and Barack Obama doing a little fist bump. It has another one right in your face that reads, Once you vote black, you never go back. Obama 2012. Once you vote black, you never go back. Now, you cannot see the face of the person with that photo. I've not seen the face of the person with that hat and that button on their hat. But how much do you want to bet? The reason why you can't see it is because it's a white person. How much do you want to bet that the reason why you can't see that person's face is because that is a white person who has a button that says, once you vote black, you never go back? Speaking of that funny joke, Rich Voss. Great line, white comedian.
He tells this story about his sister dating a black guy. And she says to him, "That's all right, Rich, you just don't understand. Once you go black, you never go back." And Rich confidently says to his little sister, "You can't come back because our parents won't let you in." "But I'm willing to put any amount of money that there is a white person with that button that says, once you vote black, you never go back. That's the reason why you can't see that face. But shouldn't we be showing it? Shouldn't we see this person for what they truly are?" No one had thought of that, did they? Did you think of that, Mary Mary, while you bought them?
No, I did not. I don't care what the person looks like. The button shouldn't even be in existence.
Well, why not?
It's racist. Because it's racist.
How is it racist? Explain to me how it's racist.
It's racist in the same way that the Democrats call the Republicans racist when they mention Chicago.
Ooh. So just the sheer mention of blackness should be racist on all points.
I kind of agree.
Now, Mike and Dennis, have you guys seen this picture that I'm talking about on Yahoo News?
Let me say this. I posted this in my group, Kultur und Politik, on Facebook.
Right.
And a young Obama supporter, the first thing he said, this is a Photoshop, and I can do better. They're in denial.
Really? They really called it a Photoshop?
You can see it, because you're a member of the group.
Oh, no. I will definitely look it up.
Well, that's really funny, because if you Google that phrase, once you vote black, and you do an image search on Google, you will find a page of it, including buttons for sale on a bulletin board at the convention and T-shirts for sale.
Well, if I were you, I'd get as many of those buttons as I can and sell them later on.
Hold on. You're telling me that these are being sold at the convention?
It's hard to say where they're being sold, and I'm assuming they're being sold at the convention, yeah. There was
they're being sold at the convention.
That's insanity.
Well, you know, it's just ridiculous because if somebody had a, you know, once you vote white, you're all right button for sale at the RNC, people would have lost their damn mind.
My button would have said, once you vote white, you're always right.
Well, you know, there needs to be a way to put something to do with Obama screwing up the nation's credit rating. It's like, you know, once you go black, you get bad credit.
Doesn't rhyme.
Once you vote black, your credit is whack.
There you go.
You know what? You know, I had this post on Reese on the radio. I think it was like last year, and I said, I think the headline read, "First Black President affirms Black stereotype knows nothing about jobs."
Well, have you seen the video of these people at the convention? It reminds me of the videos you can see on those old newsreels about Nazi Germany. Just the faces of the crowd are wrapped with this weird mixture of admiration, awe, and bloodlust.
Yeah. Yeah, you're talking about Nazi propaganda videos.
Yeah, I mean, somebody's selling a calendar, apparently, that it's a photo calendar. And when you get to Obama's birth month, it quotes John 3:16, like, Obama is the Messiah who's here to die for our sins. Unfortunately, he hasn't died for us yet. So the prophecy's not exactly
accurate.
Well,
remember 4 years ago when they had the Youth for Obama, the kids singing, "Obama, our savior, he's going to do whatever the hell he's going to do."
Oh, my God, Obama's going to lead us.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that was scary.
Did you ever see
the
one?
Yeah, it was just like it was a communist youth.
There was a video I saw where it was like six young black teenagers, I guess, dressed in some kind of weird uniform, and they marched into the classroom in formation and
handed off
individual propaganda.
Yes, the black kids, who were on the T-shirts. They were looking like they were looking like S1W from Public Enemy, and they were doing
exactly.
No
wonder Martin Luther King was Republican.
They were really frightening because the black boys kept stepping forward and they were like, "Barack Obama is going to make my life better by doing the blah, 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 blah." And they kept
exactly.
It was a frightening
Barack Obama, he's going to pay my mortgage and all my bills and my car.
It was more akin to, like, spouting off brown shirt propaganda.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
I finally got a picture to look at the button that you're talking about that's on that head.
Oh, once you go black?
Right. That looks like that could be a black woman.
Listen, all you see is the top of her head, right?
No, because you can see the black of her nappy wig.
Well, you see, there's a reason why I kind of agree with JC that it was probably a sister, because not showing a sister with that button does a lot to allay, you know, a fear of the black planet. You know what I mean? It scares white people if black folk have that button.
She looks like Uhura from Star Trek from behind.
Now, there was a button for blacks that the Republicans gave out, specifically for blacks, in 1972.
Now, whoa, what was that one?
It was white on white letters on black. It says, "Don't be taken for granted." That's all it said.
Oh, but see, I like that.
I think I'm going to sell one that says, "Don't forget to vote on November 7th.
I mean, doesn't that make more sense? Don't be taken for granted than this crap coming out of Obama.
Oh, absolutely. Now, are you guys familiar with who's a great guy? I think he's wonderful. Peter Schiff.
Justin?
Are you guys familiar with Peter Schiff?
Can't hear you.
Are you guys familiar with Peter Schiff?
Oh yeah, I know Peter.
Yes. He should have won out in Connecticut 2 years ago.
Well, did you see the new video he put out at the Democratic National Convention?
No. Tell me about it. Oh, great one.
Here you. This is all you need to hear, folks.
Everyone, it's Peter Schiff, and I am here in North Carolina at the site of the Democratic National Convention. Not that many people here now. I don't know. Maybe they're all out looking for work. Actually, wait a minute.
Oh, no. You can't do this to me. Are you kidding me? They took the video down. The video has been taken down. There's no way. There's absolutely no way. I apologize.
Down the memory hole.
No, it's okay. So Peter Schiff went around the Democratic National Convention pretending to be a liberal. Okay? He went around pretending to be a liberal, asking all of the delegates there what they thought about there being a cap on corporate profits. And he was literally baiting them into whether or not they would actually be opposed or for President Obama standing for the whole idea. What was strikingly odd was one woman went so far as to say she doesn't know much about it. And then he asked her, well, what if President Obama put it on his platform? Then I would agree with it, she says.
Yeah,
okay.
I just sent you a link to the video.
Okay, no, I think I got it now. I think I'm up and running now.
Yeah, it's youtube.com/user/ShiffReport.
Yeah, I think I'm good
to
go.
Not that many people
here
now. Maybe they're all out looking for work. Actually, wait a minute. This is a Democratic convention. They don't want to work. Do you think it's fair that corporations make all these profits?
No, I don't think it's fair that they make that many profits.
That's right. We got to ban profits. We need corporate profits.
Maybe we should have corporate losses.
Well, I don't want to go that far. You actually want to force corporations to lose money?
Yeah, I think so.
The issue is corporations have profits, and I want to ban those profits so that the workers can have higher wages and that the consumers can get lower prices.
That is obviously something I would be in favor in.
Would you be in favor of a law that banned corporate profits?
Profits?
Profits, yeah. Corporate.
Yes.
What do you think happens with corporate profits?
They keep it and they get bigger and bigger.
I know, and they squeeze the people, and they exploit their customers, they gouge them with high prices. Let's take away those profits.
Exactly.
Can they just fire people to make a bigger profit?
Absolutely not.
Okay, so you want to control who they can hire and
regulate it. I'm a part of a labor union.
Would you support
President Obama if he came out in favor of a law to ban corporate profits?
Yes.
If you're talking just pure profit?
Yeah, the stuff that's left over for the greedy capitalists.
I can actually support that.
What about putting a cap on corporate profits?
I think so. I think a cap is the way to go. That's something that we looked at with a lot of our corporate giveaways in Louisiana. We couldn't get folks to come to the table to outright repeal some of those things, but we were able to get them to cap them.
I would be in favor of federal law to limit corporate profits.
So limit them. So have a cap on how much profit
yeah.
they can make?
Yeah.
I don't think one person should be able to make like $100 million in 1 year and just keep all that money.
I tend to agree with you.
There should be a limit to how much some corporations
Listen,
can make.
Listen, absolutely. And individual CEO caps as well.
Just caps in general.
Caps in general.
Well, how about a cap on profits? We just basically say.
I could agree with that.
Would you be in favor of a law banning corporate profits?
Of course. My concern is education of children and families and working women and single parents.
Oh, absolutely. Me too. But would you be willing to pay for that by banning corporate profits?
I'm not going to make an opinion on that because I don't know enough about it.
Well, what if Obama wanted to do it? Would you support him?
I will support anything my president wants to do.
Absolutely psychotic. She says, I don't know anything about it, but if the president wants it, that's what I want to do. I have no idea what you're talking about, but if my president wants it, he something I want to do, okay?
And yet they blame the Nazis in Nuremberg for blind obedience.
Exactly. I don't know what it is that you are talking about, but if the president wants it, I want it too. I support my president. No matter what he say, he want to kill puppies, I kill puppies today. Go get whatever you want. Okay? You want to stab a guppy in the mouth? I'm going to do it because my president say, no matter what. Because he president.
You know, I don't have a problem with corporate profits at all. I mean, that's what you're in business for. And I don't even have a problem with, you know, someone who started a company, an entrepreneur, making an exorbitant amount of money. Like, I don't care that Bill Gates has whatever, you know, $1 trillion he had or whatever. I do have a problem when you had companies like General Motors and Chrysler who were paying their CEOs just exorbitant crazy salaries and getting themselves in trouble, you know, and claiming that their business wasn't good. You know, when your CEO is making, you know, 1,000 times what your average worker is, I know it's not illegal. It just seems kind of, I don't know, un-American to me. It seems kind of shady.
Isn't that up to the stockholders?
Well, no, I agree with you. Look, we all know in every business practice, there are levels of underhanded shadiness. It's what happens. You know, I make this big argument when people talk about the banks and talk about these corporate lenders, you know, these lending institutions that, you know, with the subprime mortgages. You know, as much as people think that you're backing the banks when they say, look, you know, they turn these derivatives into some sort of profit gaining scheme. No one in anybody in their right mind knows that that was the dumbest thing to do. It's the reason why AIG failed. It's the reason why Lehman Brothers is out of business. We all understand that what they did was absolutely and abundantly wrong.
And the law was put into place to stop banks from investing because of what happened to cause the Great Depression, right?
Exactly.
So,
Grace, let me tell you something. You used to live here.
What's that?
You used to live here in the Commonwealth.
Yeah.
And perhaps you don't understand or remember what used to be the law in Massachusetts. Banks could not leave their counties. You could not have mega banks.
I do know about that.
Do you think
that
contributed?
Form a mega bank.
I was wondering if you think that might have contributed to the problem that we have, mega banks, where before you just had to stay within your county.
Well,
couldn't have any branches outside the county.
I don't have a problem with banks expanding. But once they deregulated the banks and allowed just regular banks to act like investment banks and gamble with other people's money, that's a problem.
You mean Glass-Steagall?
Yeah, glass.
Yeah, but wait, but let's take that into consideration. You know, when you had an administration that pretty much told them, look, I don't give a crap whether or not these people can afford these loans. You're going to give them the loans anyway, because if you don't, we're going to make you look like crappy racists. And we're going to destroy your reputation through the White House press corps.
Then under the Clinton administration.
They bundled mortgages into, what, derivatives?
It's
and
derivative.
Sold them off
right.
as investments. You know, that's a recipe for disaster.
Well, again,
I'm not shouldn't have been allowed.
And again, this is what I've always said. I'm not in any way saying that what the banks did was right, smart, brilliant, or, in, for that matter, genius. What they did was absolutely stupid. But the reason why they did it, they felt as though they were forced by the gun of the White House.
Let me ask you this, guys. Some of the Ron Paul people have made a suggestion, and it would be radical perhaps, to eliminate the FDIC, that when you put a dollar in a bank, it's your risk, and the government shouldn't be backing it up. What do you think about that?
Well, okay, the bank, or somebody, are you suggesting that the government is not backing it, but the bank, the government's not
backing the
dollar?
If the bank fails, you lose your money.
No, because you know what? Well, I think they should. I think that the government should be able to protect you up to an extent the same way that the stock market does. If you lose $1 million, you're guaranteed up to $300,000, right?
That I wouldn't know. I know the FDIC, I'm not rich like you, sucking money from radio and records, being able to invest and sit in my ass all day and watch the friggin' NFL and not have a show yesterday and sticking me with the Democrats. But other than that, I wouldn't know.
Sal, are you finally back with us?
I am. And I got to say, you know, this is the greatest show on earth the last couple of days. I mean, is it anti-American to sit here and kind of enjoy this in a sick kind of way? This is it's unbelievable. What planet are these people from? You know, I'm laughing now. I won't be laughing if in the election they get voted back in. Because then you realize what you're dealing with, and it's just terrifying.
The Daily Show sent reporters to the DNC. It's on their website. You can watch
it. That was so funny. I watched that today.
Well, we're the party of inclusion. You see, the one gay guy says, everybody's welcome, you know, blacks and Latinos and Asians and LGBT and Jews and anybody not welcome. He says, oh, yeah, we don't want those beer-bellied, gun-toting, smelly rednecks. So the reporter says, yeah, why would you possibly want those 146 million people in your party?
It sounds like Harry Reid. He says, oh, the tourists, they smell when they come here in the Capitol Hill. Remember that a few years ago?
Reaching out, but when you watch this convention, it's mind-boggling to me. They are not trying at all to me at least, until they put Clinton on the stage. And I think that answers why, Reese, when you mentioned why was he on the stage so long. I think they know he's the only gun in the bullet they got in the chamber that's going to attract anybody from the Senate.
Absolutely.
He's only supposed to speak for 30 minutes.
But wait a minute.
If you look at a map of what votes red and blue in this country, I don't want to sound like I have a tinfoil hat on, but it is almost inevitable that this country is going to fracture. You can't have the geographical mass of the country dominated by the few highly densely populated areas in the Northeast and the West Coast.
Well, you know,
it's
funny that you say that, because if you look at those areas that are starting what they consider like purple states, like, you know, people are talking about Colorado, which is kind of a purple state. They've turned around a little bit. They've become much more inclusive, as Democrats like to say. But if you were to look at the past 20 years of the electorate and you look at the blue states, where are they? It's Midwestern towns like, you know, Missouri, places like Illinois, maybe Indiana. And then you go left or right, and sure enough, Washington, Oregon, California, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, New York, you know. And then you got to go.
The Russians believe the United States is going to break up.
Well, I've seen that map, and it actually makes sense. I mean, I don't see where the people of Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Florida, Wyoming, Montana, all those places that are, you know, kind of rural, pull yourself up by your bootstraps places, are going to want to have people in New York City and L.A. deciding policy for them.
Does that mean I end up being a Canadian living in Massachusetts?
No, but I can tell you, you know, that, you know, it's frightening because what I see in the future as far as, like, middle America or what a lot of people call flyover country is that those people, those are the ones that are going to fight the hardest to get. What do you think? Look, as intellectually superior that people who live from what I consider Malibu to Manhattan, no matter who it is that they think that they are, remember, when it comes down to a fair fight, these pieces of garbage cut and run.
Well, Bob, I have bad news for you guys up there on the eastern seaboard. Should we fracture and the South breaks off, we are sending you our Negroes.
We are sending what?
We're sending you all our Negroes. We might keep a few for manual labor, but you're going to get most of them.
Ah! Yeah,
I thought guns. Manual labor was a Mexican.
That's Manuel labor.
Oh.
Manuel Labor.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly who that is.
Didn't Elizabeth Warren own a couple of them once?
She sure enough did.
I bet John Kerry does down in the Caymans where he flags his yacht.
Ugh. Oh, man.
Lovey, may I take the yacht now to North Carolina and not pay my taxes in the Commonwealth?
And I'll bet you he has Negro servants wearing white short sleeve dress shirts with bow ties, black dress shorts, knee socks, and shiny shoes.
Damn.
I would have liked to see him when he was sleeping in his car before he met Lovey.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, there was an email that leaked. You know who Paula Deen is, the
sure.
Food Channel lady?
Sure.
She was getting married, and some email leaked from her to her friend where she described her dream Southern wedding. And she said, I really would like to have a bunch of little black kids with bow ties on, being servants and tap dancing, but people would freak out.
Wait,
when
was this?
Oh, guys, when she was getting married.
This was recent, though?
A few years ago, I guess.
Oh, I got to look that. Please, please send me that link. Oh, my goodness. I must see that. All right, I got to take a break. When we come back, it's Jigaboo time right here on Reese on the Radio. Push this one.
Hi, everybody. I'm Bill Whittle, and this is Afterburner. Well, today, just a short look at the program as we move out of the political preseason and onto the actual field. And I don't think it takes a prodigious leap of imagination to see how the next 2 months are going to play out, because in the time between the end of the Republican primaries up through the Republican convention, both teams have made it pretty clear what their game plans will be. So, first, the Republicans. There was a great deal of fear among conservatives that Mitt Romney, the man that essentially invented Obamacare, would become, in a time of the massive liberal destruction on the limits of the federal government, simply the most liberal Republican candidate in the modern era. Conservatives, myself included, and rightfully so, I might add, were slow to embrace Romney, and not the least because it seemed to us that he, like the Republican Party establishment, were taking us and our Tea Party concerns for granted. And then came the selection of Paul Ryan, which wasn't just a sop to the conservative wing of the supposedly conservative party. Choosing his vice presidential running mate was, as always, the first real glimpse into the decision-making character of the candidate. Now, Barack Obama in 2008 chose Joe Biden to bring gravitas and seriousness to the ticket. Romney, who has gravitas and seriousness himself, chose Ryan. By choosing Ryan, he also placed a very, very large bet on the character of the American people. We saw this bet enlarged on in Chris Christie's keynote speech at the Republican National Convention. That bet goes something like this. The American people are not, in fact, the poorly informed, selfish, moral cowards the Democrats are betting that they are. No one is denying that both parties have been feeding the American people free pie for over 40 years, and no one is denying that we haven't eaten it happily and gotten fat on it. The Democrats think that the people will, in the end, do whatever it takes to keep the pie coming. The Republicans are betting the farm on the fact that we are, in fact, an exceptional people, not so exceptional that we would have the moral fiber not to get into this mess in the first place, but exceptional enough, perhaps, to realize that it's time to get up off the couch and get to the gym before our fiscal heart attack occurs. Now, several years ago, Barack Obama was asked if he believed in American exceptionalism, and he famously replied that he did, in the same way that the British believe in British exceptionalism and the Greeks believed in Greek exceptionalism. Romney and Ryan are betting we are made out of sterner stuff than the Europeans, who at the beginning of the summer simply voted themselves more free pie. Wisconsin, a deep blue state where a red governor went to the people with a plan and the guts to tell the truth, showed us that making the tough decisions would pay off. Along with similar reform governors in New Jersey and Louisiana, Wisconsin showed us that we might in fact be a people worthy of delivering on that bet. And so what about the Democrats? What about hope and change and optimism and a new politics and unity and transparency and all the rest we were promised back in 2008? Well, those qualities are unrecognizable today. I was saddened, if not surprised, to realize that Barack Obama was every...
Swing your sign across his mind, it's diggable time. It's diggable time. It's diggable time. When you're running out of lyrics, it's diggable time.
In front of his girlfriend and children downtown. The incident happened about 10 p.m. Saturday near the Brick Street Insurance Building. A 45-year-old man was leaving Tidewater Grill with his girlfriend and his 9 and 13-year-old children. Two men approached the group and started making rude comments. The descriptions are fairly vague, but of course they were described as heavyset black men in their 20s. The man asked two men to stop making the comments. The two then attacked the man, knocking him down and kicking him repeatedly in the head and face.
Wow.
The man suffered a severe concussion and facial lacerations. They then dug into his pockets and stole $30. And as of May, these two wonderful civilians, these two wonderful citizens were at large. And the man was leaving the dinner with his children.
Okay. Next story.
Next story. Okay. Let's see here. I have one from Gawker. Young black man just did some tweets today that says he was going to assassinate President Obama.
Did he?
His Twitter handle is DestroyLeague_D. His tweet is, I'ma hit President Obama with that Lee Harvey Oswald swag. Yep, here's his follow-up status.
Bam.
Well, I'ma assassinate President Obama this evening. Gonna get this monkey off my chest while he's in town. Secret Service gonna be defenseless when I shoot him in the head with an assault rifle. F the DNC. So the Secret Service came to question him, and according to the Secret Service agent, the young man was smiling as he read the tweet aloud. He is the self-described number one Lupe Fiasco fan. He claims he was high at the time and knew what he was doing and that it was wrong. But to cover, he says, his feeling does not carry over to the First Lady because she's fine as hell. And his name is Dante Jamar Sims. Nice young man from North Carolina. Head full of dreadlocks.
Freaking beautiful. I love it.
Here.
What you got next?
All right, I have one from Baltimore, B-more. A 19-year-old student from Baltimore Polytechnic told police he was beaten by two separate groups of juveniles from a rival school, an attack that comes amid a pitched debate over downtown safety. It says he was walking about 4:20 p.m., when the brothers really should be high by then at 4:20. Says he was attacked by as many as 19 juveniles wearing Digital Harbor T-shirts, which is a rival high school. Apparently, they beat the bejesus out of this guy.
Seriously?
Yep. Kicked the crap out of him.
And this is just one dude.
This is just one guy that 19,
beat by 19.
All juvenile black males beat the crap out of him, and he was white.
That's just
19.
Awful.
And let's see here. His comments, Baltimore County Delegate Pat McDonough, who's a conservative radio show host, issued a statement asking the Maryland State Police to control roving mobs of black youths at Baltimore Inner Harbor. He said the harbor should be declared a no-travel zone until safety can be ensured. And, of course, his comments were denounced by other politicians, including Governor Martin O'Malley. And a group of activists called for an apology. The radio show host has balls, so he declined, saying to do so would be political correctness on steroids.
Damn right.
So where we are is the man says this area is unsafe, people should know it's unsafe, and victims should not continue to travel here. And the governor himself says, no, basically let those stupid white people get beat up because it's too PC. It would not be PC to say watch out for the Negroes.
And this
okay,
was...
so let me just interject on this. You're talking about the National Harbor. First of all that area is brand new. They just put all that stuff up. I actually have several coworkers. Yeah, I told you. Remember we drove by and said I want to go there.
Yeah, it's what Inner Harbor they call it.
The Inner Harbor, yeah. So
yeah,
they just redid the Woodrow Wilson Bridge. You know, they did the Inner Harbor. They put all that stuff there. Now, it is not in the safest of neighborhoods.
Oh, it isn't?
Oh, no.
So what do they do? Like, build it like this utopia inside the hood? Is it Howard University?
Well, it's this utopia on the water of the hood.
Oh. So you've got, in essence, you have to travel through the hood to get to it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Well, you see, but they're missing one of the basic tenets of gentrification. When you gentrify an area, you have to move the Negroes out.
Well, yeah, that's the whole idea. I mean, people don't understand this. People are so upset about Harlem because they say all the Jews are coming up to Harlem and they're buying up all the property. I'm like, Negro, Harlem is about to be a Jewish community again. They're talking about going back to the 20s, okay, when it comes to Harlem. They're going to get all the Negroes out of Harlem. And the idea is always you hike up the prices on the rent in the area. Negroes can't afford it. They're forced to move.
Well, it's not so much that Negroes can't afford it. You know, people that are not so financially fortunate,
affluent
can't afford it. You know, I don't want to say fortunate or unfortunate because you make
your
own way. So for those people that don't have and can't afford, I don't think they should, like, you know, redo a neighborhood and just start kicking people out and people have nowhere to go. You have to, you know.
But let's consider that, Mary. Let's consider that, what he's saying. We'll go to the, one more story after making this point, Mike. Let's think about this, okay? The object of making that area, right, profitable. I mean, in order for it to be profitable, people have to go. The one primary factor about going there is that people have to deem it safe. And that is, like, there are people who live in the area who are not going to go down there because they know, I'm not going through there. The hood's right next to there. So, therefore, it's lost its appeal. So, now people who are in that area are going, look, people aren't coming down here. We built this business. We're down here. We're struggling because nobody wants to go through that neighborhood in order for us to come out here and to patronize our business. So, the bottom line is, get them out of here.
Okay, yeah,
I mean, the usual way it goes.
Okay, I understand, get them out of here, whatever, but what do you do with them? Where are you going to put them?
Put them in a place that they can afford to go to, just like everybody else.
Hyannisport, a good place.
What did you say?
Hyannisport is a good place.
Where is that?
Send them to Hyannisport.
Dennis will hear nothing of that.
What they should be doing is, you know, maybe they should think about, okay, before we put our businesses and stuff down here, before we build all this,
you're right about that.
Let's try to get this neighborhood, this surrounding neighborhoods together.
100%
well,
right.
And put more police out there, start patrolling, letting these people know you're letting criminals know you're not going to get away with crime because it's not the neighborhood.
It's funny that you say that.
It's not because they have less money. It's because the crime rate is so high.
You know what? This makes me think about the South Street Seaport, Mike. I'm sorry to cut you off. This reminds me of the South Street Seaport. You know, when Giuliani was the Attorney General of New York, and he was going after the mob at the Fulton Fish Market, he got those people out of there. He went after the corruption at the Fulton Fish Market, had it privately owned, got those people out. And the South Street Seaport now is the most profitable it's ever been now. That whole area,
because that
area is beautiful now.
A
huge tourist attraction in New York. What were we going to say, Mike?
Well, the usual way that gentrification happens is cool old buildings fall into disrepair. So gay couples and artists without much money will move in and revitalize it. Then they set up interesting little art things and restaurants. Then the yuppies move in.
You know,
I
give Bill Clinton one small piece of credit for doing one thing. I'm stunned at how long it took, but it worked. It did work. After 2000.
In Harlem.
After 2000, Bill Clinton, because people always forget this part, Bill Clinton wanted his office on 53rd and Lex across from the Citibank building in Manhattan. That's where he wanted his office to be.
To work right.
That office refused to take him. That building would not take him. He was rejected. So he had to find a new office. And Charlie Rangel, Al Sharpton, and all of these other people, I mean, what was the guy's name? Dutton? Not Dutton. JC, you know this guy's name. This guy is the guy who used to run the Amsterdam News, and he also used to... Percy Sutton. Was one of the people who got Bill Clinton to say, hey, listen, come up to Harlem. Look at what you can do for Harlem. If Bill Clinton, you know, Toni Morrison's, you know, dean, the first black president, were to bring his offices to Harlem, imagine what you do for the revitalization of this city. Now, I'm not going to lie. It took 10 years, but go to Harlem today.
It's a totally different
place. That Harlem is a place that, first of all, there are more businesses there. And me and my brother, and I told this story on the air before, me and my brother were up in Harlem going to visit my sister who lives on 137th and Malcolm X Boulevard. We were walking down the street. We saw a white guy running. And me and my brother laughed so hard because the first thing that came out of our mouths after we laughed was, this is the first time in my lives we see a white person running in Harlem, and it's only for the bus. That is the God's honest truth. That's exactly what we said when we saw it. There were people sitting outside of Sylvia's with laptop computers, and there were nothing but white people there. There were more white people patronizing Sylvia's in Harlem. It was the first time I'd ever seen it in my entire life.
Sylvia's that, like, chicken and, you can get chicken and waffles.
It's everything there. I mean, it was insanity. I'll still never forget that. Okay, so you have one more for us?
Yeah, one
daytime
more.
Daytime or nighttime?
Daytime.
All right.
Daytime.
All right. All right, I have one from the Mile High City of Denver, Colorado.
Yay!
An ass whipping at a McDonald's drive-thru from May 22nd.
No, it's ass whipping,
okay, now. The first paragraph is going to explain why this happened. It says, the attack happened in the middle of the busy lunch hour at the McDonald's on 3300 Colorado Boulevard near Martin Luther King Boulevard.
It's always there. Always there.
So what happens is actually a case of a stupid, naive white person, I'm assuming a liberal, woman's in the drive-thru. She sees a young black woman throwing trash out of her car. So busybody liberal white lady says, all I said was that it wasn't cool. And then they had a few words, and next thing you know, LaQuisha jumps out of the car and starts throwing her an ass whipping.
What was that first name again?
I'm assuming LaQuisha.
And you're assuming this woman was African-American?
Oh, it gets better, yes. The quote is, she was right in my window just punching me in the face, Shannon said. She started biting my hands so severely I thought she was going to bite them off.
Yeah, she was black. I'm sure it wasn't the sister of Michelle.
Then a man jumped out of the car and threw a grape soda through her window, which is even just ghetto-tastic. And the quote is, this is for you, white bitch. This is a grape soda.
Wait. Please tell me you are not embellishing the part about
no,
the grape
soda. No, this is the actual quote. This is for you, you white bitch. This is a grape soda. And, you know, I don't think he got the grape soda from McDonald's because all he sells is orange, unless there's some special ghetto McDonald's I'm not aware of. I don't know if they sell Fanta at McDonald's in the hood.
What was the date on this, Mike? What was the date on this?
May 22nd this year.
Grape soda, another stereotype bites the dust.
Grape soda.
I can't imagine her spending her, wasting her grape soda so close to the end of the month. I mean, not like you have your food stamps left to buy more.
It even gets better.
Oh, it gets better.
The description of the suspects, two black women and one black man, is vague. The best clue police have to go on right now is they were driving a light blue Cadillac with temporary tags.
Of course they were riding.
I'm assuming it didn't have spinners because they had temporary tags, but it's highly possible they went right to rent a rim before they even got their tags on.
Hmm. Okay, now, do you happen to have any of my favorite stories? The ones that go like this?
Murder, death, kill, murder, death, kill, murder, death, kill.
Oh, yes, I do. I have one more.
Yes.
This happened on May 21st again. Apparently, the end of May was a wild month for Negroes. In Atlantic City. Two Canadian women were stabbed to death Monday morning during an apparent robbery in the heart of the gambling resort city's tourism district.
Oh, I know this town.
The victims, whose names have not been released at this time, were described as being 80 years old and 47 years old from Canada.
The two victims were 87 and 47?
80 and 47.
80 years old and 47. That's sick.
It was near the Bally's and just steps away from the Atlantic Care Hospital. Female suspect named Antoinette Pelzer, and if you look at her mugshot, she looks like buckwheat hit some humidity and his shit all went limp. An officer came upon it and drew her gun and had her drop her knife, so she did. The women died shortly after the incident. They were stabbed multiple times in the upper body.
Oh, man.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
We got a breaking news story.
Hey, by
Reese,
the way,
you ready
I
for this?
Go, please.
From the convention, an Aspen, Colorado delegate was spotted sporting a button that read, "Sluts Vote."
What?
Oh, yeah. That's part of that whole slut walk movement that the wacky feminists are doing. Have you seen these crazy parades?
I do remember that.
Used to describe fluke.
I told
him. I want to hear this moron talk.
What's he talking about?
I don't know, but I want to hear what blunder he's going to come up with tonight.
Of course. Edward in Connecticut is with us. Hello, Edward.
Hey, how's it going, Reese?
What's going on, buddy? You like our new segment, Jigaboo Time? I'm loving this.
Man, that was that's a great segment. One of those things, I heard that one of the attackers was biting a woman's hands.
Her hand in the drive-thru, yeah.
That sounds like a chimp attack.
I'm sure on the security cam it looks like a chimp attack.
Oh, the blatant racism here. Listen,
I mean, that's the first thing chimps do when they attack humans is bite their hands.
You have to wonder if they had just left Kentucky Fried Chicken and got tired of licking their own fingers.
Is it part of a new reality video series called Ratchets Gone Wild?
Ratchets Gone Wild?
You mean I'm blacker than you? God
no,
damn.
I know the term Ratchets Gone Wild is a term, you know, it's talking about a gun. That's the new term.
No, I thought a ratchet
you
really
dumbass.
Is a hood term.
What's that?
Ratchet is a hood term.
Yes, ratchet is a hood term. I know. It's what they refer to as a gun now.
No.
You're having too much fun, you know that.
It's a
you dumbass.
What is that, you dumbass? What is that noise?
That's Beavis and Butthead.
Oh.
No, dude, a ratchet. Ratchet is a really busted female.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I've
never heard that.
Yeah, like you call it gully, I guess.
Yeah, gully.
Oh, gully, yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that one. I always thought it up.
One of them do rag bitches with razor stubble.
Yes. It's really bad, dude. Well, I gotta correct you on your ghetto knowledge.
I don't know much about the ghetto knowledge. My apologies.
We don't.
That's right. He used to be black.
We don't
anthropology, man. I feel like Louis Leakey.
We don't frequent the ghetto.
The man, baby. Anyway,
Reese, weren't you used to be black at one time?
Yes, it was back before the Reagan administration.
Okay, I was wondering where everybody left. They want the Sylvias to chow down.
Yeah, well, I've known him since he was 19, and he was not black when I met him.
What? See?
I was black for 3 weeks when I was dating his sister, so I got my pass.
Now, Mary, can you tell us behind the scenes, when did Reese get off his ass yesterday, or did he stay for the commercials, too, with the NFL?
What happened?
He's wondering whether or not...
Did he sit in his ass the entire show, or did he actually get up and stretch during the NFL last night?
No, he didn't sit through the whole thing. He did get up, but he knew when they were going to have commercials, so he'd go and refill his cocktail and grab me a beer.
I knew she was going to bring that. She was going to bring this up. I have to tell you this. This is really, really funny. So the Dallas Cowboys score a field goal. No, sorry, the Giants score a field goal during a game yesterday, right? They score a field goal, and then they come back, and they're about to do the kickoff to the Giants. So they do the kickoff to the Giants. Giants receive, they probably go about maybe 12 yards. I don't even think they made it to the 20-yard line. Anyways, the first half of the game. As soon as, you know, they caught the ball and they tackled them at the 12-yard line, I get up, and I say, you know, you want anything from the kitchen, you know, it's... The commercial's about to come on. She looks at me, she goes, "How do you know?" I said, "I've been watching football for years. I know exactly when they're going to go to commercial break." She couldn't believe that. She'd been watching football just as long as me, but does not know when the commercial breaks are coming. Everybody knows that after the kickoff, they go directly into a commercial unless it's overtime.
I guess I never paid that much attention.
This is called detail, damn it. It's what I do.
Okay, fine. Fine.
Ooh, here's a breaking news story.
What do you got?
Venezuela is holding a U.S. vessel and crew on suspicions of arms trafficking.
Uh-oh.
Whoa.
Uh-oh. Yep,
Fast
Chavez
and Furious Part 2?
Chavez apparently busted some spooks. Non-racist, of course. And
well,
it gets better. A decade ago, the ship carried oil-filled equipment to Iraq, and according to a backgrounder on globalsecurity.com, this is on Forbes, by the way, the Department of State requested the vessel be quietly diverted to Libya, where under special security cover, the vessel is loaded in its entirety with equipment from Libya's nuclear and other WMD programs arsenals, including centrifuges, equipment from a uranium conversion facility, and five Scud long-range missiles. The cargo was discharged at an undisclosed U.S. East Coast port. So where did those weapons go? Who's going to get those when they get here?
Wow, that's
are those getting shipped off? Are those getting shipped off to the boys in Syria? The
now,
Muslim
listen,
Brotherhood?
Did that story come from your favorite place?
Off of Drudge, yeah. It's a headline on Drudge right now.
That's what I thought it was. Because that's my favorite place, too.
So now, I don't want to sound like Alex Jones, but that'd be an awfully...
I was also thinking WorldNet Daily.
I just wonder, you know, is this a perfect way to set up a kickoff for the Israelis to go attack somebody?
Yeah, you know, sounds like it to me.
Launch a Scud into Tel Aviv, and now they have an excuse to go kick some ass and start World War III?
Exactly. Well,
oh, Reese, by the way, something happened today in the Commonwealth you might not be aware of.
What's that?
Primary election day.
That's right. I did hear about that today. Our good friend Gene Pinkham, who was always listening to the show, of course, the day later, he always lets me know about primary day when it's coming up. I know so much going on in Malden, especially, thanks to our good friend
Gene.
We
had three ballots to choose from in my precinct.
Yeah.
Democrat, Republican, and the green rainbow, whatever the hell that is. It was in a green specimen ballot and not one single candidate. Which meant the Commonwealth had to spend thousands of dollars to print these friggin' things. And at 3 o'clock p.m. in my precinct, we had the total for all three combined parties, a total of 45 voters.
Wow.
And yet the guys are dying in the Middle East so we can vote. It's really shameful.
It is. That is.
Did you hear that Hillary Clinton apparently got punked in China?
I saw
that.
Wasn't that great?
I called him and told him about it as soon as I read it.
That was
the Chinese VP called her a meddlesome troublemaker and said basically, mind your business with what we do with these islands we're disputing with Japan.
Yeah.
And the head of Hungary unfriended the IMF on Facebook. World breaking news.
What the hilarious?
And since China holds $1.8 trillion of our debt in T-bonds, China can devastate our economy and beat us without even firing a shot. All they have to do is turn those things loose, and $1.8 trillion floods back into circulation. How's that for inflation, sir?
Yeah, exactly. You want to talk?
Thank you, Bill Clinton, for taking red Chinese money.
Yeah.
Well, and thank you, W, for giving these assholes most favored nation trading status.
There you go.
Don't look at me. He only is my neighbor up in Maine.
That's our show for tonight. Thank you, as always, folks, for being a part of it. Our good friends, Edward in Connecticut, Mike in Florida, Dennis in Massachusetts, JC the producer, and Justin, I see you out there lurking around, trying to get some more information. By the way, listen to me. Let me be the first to tell you. Justin has the greatest show on death.radio.com. He's been better than mine. The reason why it's better than mine? Because I made it. I made it better than mine. Because I was the one who invested for it with the ability to do a show. So in essence, yes, Justin is just a counterpart of me. But I'm... There, young man. Oh, she's back up. I love you, bro. You're my boy. I'll talk to you later. Sleep on the radio. See you tomorrow.